I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. Lord, I swear there's no pain, I know there's no danger in that bright world to which I go.
Welcome to this podcast from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. Faith Bible Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-teaching ministry dedicated to bringing the good news of the gospel to the whole world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now, for this week's message.
So, as you know, Pastor Allen will be back tomorrow. So we have another visiting preacher, Andrew Nelson. He's an author, PhD student, professor at Multnomah.
So we're going to be in, if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be in John 1, 1 through 18. Looks like they're going to have it up there too. That's great. I'm reading from the ESV, so if our versions are a little different, that's why. There's a reason why I chose that one specifically for this passage. But today we're going to be looking at quite a profound truth. And it's going to come with a warning. You like that? I'm starting with a warning. Here's the warning. Looking at Jesus as the Logos of God, or the Word of God, the message of God, is such a profoundly beautiful truth that human language ultimately fails to truly express it. So I'm going to fail you today. I'm going to try my best to highlight the truth in God's Word, but this is such a magnificent reality, the incarnation of Christ, that ultimately Jesus himself is the only one who can really explain it, and we'll get into that. Some of you may know T.F. Torrance. He was a theologian. He said that Jesus Christ is his own message, because he is not a religious leader like we see in other religions that teach a truth. He is the truth. He embodies the truth. He embodies the gospel. So to explain the message is to look at Christ and to know Christ. So here are a few things I bring to this text that I want to share with you today. The first is, whoever, whatever Jesus is, very generally, God is. In other words, Jesus is the expression of God. If you want to know who God is, you look to Christ. That's John's huge message in chapter 1. And elsewhere in Colossians and Hebrews, we see Jesus is expressed as the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of his nature, so that if we want to know God, again, we have to look to Jesus. Number two, the Greek for word is logos. Everyone say logos. Logos. So when it says in the beginning was the word, it's in the beginning was the logos. And logos, very simply, is just message. So you see here in the very beginning, John is saying in the beginning was the message. Then the message was actually a person. It wasn't this list of facts, it was a person. And so Jesus is described as the way, the truth, and the life, not simply teaching a way. He is the way. He is the gate. Third, Jesus is the word or message of God in the flesh. And what that means is that Jesus, the Son of God, crossed from heaven into earth, crossed that threshold to make God known to us. That Jesus being the flesh means that God is made tangible. And so you see John in 1 John describing Jesus as, we touched him, we heard him, we saw him. He's tangible, he's in the flesh. And again, he doesn't merely speak God's message, he is God's message. If you want to know God, you need to know Jesus. So all of this leads us to conclude that Jesus is, what I am saying, the heartbeat of God. He is God expressed fully. He's God the Father expressed fully. He's the Holy Spirit expressed fully. The Trinity is expressed fully in Christ. So we'll jump into the Word now in verses 1 through 2 with these presuppositions in mind. In the beginning was the Word, and Word is Logos. And the message, the Word, was with God. John doesn't stop there. It wasn't only with God, it was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, if you look at Genesis 1, there's a little bit of a parallel here. Those of you who know Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, in the beginning was the Word. So Jesus is not a creation. He has always been. I told you, I'm going to fail you today. All things, this is picking up in verse 3 through 5, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was not just some nice teacher. He created everything. And then the Son of God entered into his creation. Did you think about that? He made humans and then he incarnated into humanity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When I read scripture, I ask questions, a lot of questions. That's part of what I do, is I ask questions, and I don't get the answers to a lot of them, but I ask them because God is so much bigger than I am that to enter into dialogue with him a lot of times means I just ask him a question. So if in Christ is life, what does that mean? That's the question I ask. Well, what it means is that everything that's alive, you know, the animals, birds, humans, it's because Christ is infusing them with life. You can't be alive apart from Christ. Christ is that life. Life is in him. He's not a mere religious teacher. He's life, right? It's the way, the truth, and the life. And the life was the light of... What is light? It's interesting. If you look at the Greek, it means light. And I think about sometimes my daughter, she's 4.5. She, you know, she's like a 4.5-year-old is, sporadic, inconsistent. Some nights, she's afraid of the dark. So I give her a flashlight. And what does the flashlight do? It illumines. It shows what's really there. It shows her, oh, there isn't a boogeyman in my closet. There's just clothes that she never picks up. So light reveals truth. This light shines in the darkness. The darkness is this world system, right? It shines in the darkness and it reveals truth. And the darkness has not overcome it. Here, John is lifting Christ up very high. He's saying that this Son of God, made human flesh, is light itself. You cannot know the purpose of life. You cannot know God. You cannot know anything apart from him. He is the message. Picking up in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Now it's interesting here. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Logos of God, the message of God, comes into his creation as a human, and the response you find in John 1 and in John in general is that he wants people to believe in him, to recognize that. Now, in our culture, believe can mean a lot of different things. It does not mean just having this intellectual recognition of God, that you go, yeah, Jesus is Word of God, he died for me, I get that. In the Greek, believe is knowing. It's a knowing. You know him. You trust him. I almost want to say, when you say, so you believe in Christ, I want to go, no, I know him. Because in their mind, believe is just, you know, intellectual. It's detached. But believe is knowing Christ and then knowing God. And John the Baptist came from God to pave the way for Jesus so that people would believe in him. Picking up in 9 through 10. The true light. Remember, John the Baptist was not the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The true light, truth itself, light itself, that which reveals truth, was coming into the world that he created, that he made, to reveal light to all people. Ever wondered, and again, I ask questions, how well Israel knew God? Have you thought about that? Because Jesus is the Logos. Jesus revealed the heartbeat of God. So how well did Israel know God? You know, when you read the Old Testament, at sometimes it seems like they didn't know him very well, because you go, well, if you really knew him, you wouldn't be doing that over there. Why are you worshiping other gods? So you find when you look at the Old Testament that Israel knew a lot about God, right? He was loving, he was holy, but this idea that he was love, at the core of his being, that that's who he was, you find that in the New Testament after Christ. So Christ reveals, again, the heartbeat of God. You cannot know God apart from Christ. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Who are we talking about? Israel. But to all who did receive him, now here we have a response again. Whoever received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Interesting language here now. Because now what John is doing is he's saying in a different way what he says to Nicodemus in John 3, which is, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And he goes, wait, I've already been born. How am I going to... He even says, do I enter back into the womb? He didn't get it. And what John is saying here is there is a birth from above, a birth that's of heaven, a birth that's of the Spirit, that all humans need to enter into. And Jesus came to reveal that. He came out of heaven, bringing heaven with him. No, no, you need to be born again. Not of blood or of the will of the flesh, but spiritually, by receiving me, by believing in me. It sounds kind of simple in a way, that you believe. you trust? What are we believing in? Well, John says over and over again, you are believing that he's the Son of God, that he died, that he rose again, and that his work is 100% sufficient for your salvation and your right standing with God. That his work was perfect. And that Jesus, by coming from heaven into earth, destroyed that divide between man and God. What does it mean that Jesus, the Word, became flesh? It means that he brought God to mankind again in a tangible way. He chased after mankind. He didn't leave mankind to just kind of guess and keep messing up like we see over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Fix that. He came to us so that we could become children of God, so that we would be adopted. And in 1 John 3:1, John says, how great is the love that was lavished on us, that we should become children of God. And he goes, and that's what we are. Like, it's great. We did it because Jesus did it. We are his children. So Jesus entering into the world, being the message of God, being the logos of God, destroys that barrier. And then he invites us into that very relationship with the Father and the Spirit that he has with himself. We're adopted into that family. Now this is where it becomes so profound. The Word, the Logos, the message of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Became flesh. This is where I'm going to fail you. Flesh. He became humanity. He became not just the good parts of humanity. Right? We see in 2 Corinthians that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. When Jesus incarnated, he entered in to our mess. He assumed that mess onto himself without sinning, but somehow he assumed it. So all that is of earth, all that is of our world, that world system, he entered into in a very real, tangible way by becoming his creation. I don't understand that. But I do know that this means that Jesus knows very well the effect of the world on us. He knows what it means to be tempted. He knows what it means to experience the pressure of the effect of sin. You know, I think we sometimes think Jesus is not experiencing what we're experiencing. Like, how can God really help me in my sadness? How can God really help me with this terminal diagnosis? How can God really help me with this worry, this fear I have about whatever it is? Well, Jesus becoming flesh meant that he became that. He entered into that. He knows what it's like to live on planet Earth. And he knows it better than you do. He knows it so intimately that he is the very person to help you through this life. Did Jesus ever have cancer? No, but he knows it. He knows it. Did Jesus ever lose a child? No, but he knows it. Because he became it. He became the flesh. He became everything in this world system. He entered into it. So when we look at Jesus, he's not a robot. He's a human, but he's God. He's the creator, but he's a human. He dwelt among us. He lived among us. Just Jesus living detached on a hill somewhere. He lived amongst the people. And we have seen his glory, his majesty, his wonder. Have you ever tried to define glory? It's not easy, because it's Jesus. All of our words just fall short. But we've seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me." He's always been. Now he's full of grace and truth. So we've seen he's full of light. And now we're seeing he's full of grace and truth. You know, sometimes we kind of separate those because we think, well, you've got grace for people, but then you also have truth for people. Because we're defining in one way, and we're defining truth in another way. Like grace is being nice, truth is being harsh. But that's not what John's doing here. What he's doing here is saying, hey, grace and truth have their origin in him. That all comes from him. He is truth itself. Grace comes from him. He is grace itself. They're intimately connected. And he elaborates in verse 16, "For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace." From his fullness. Now, what does "from fullness" mean? That's a question I ask when I look at this. It means that, from what I can tell, Jesus, being the Son of God, is being light itself, is being truth itself. He's not lacking. He is fully God, and he contains grace. Now, this is interesting because grace, we often look at as grace entered into the picture because of what? Our failure. But think about it like this. If Jesus has always been, that he is the creator, and he was incarnated, and we received grace upon grace from him, then grace finds its origin in him. It's always been. Grace is core to who God is. You know, we define grace as unmerited favor. And there's truth in that because we don't deserve it. But really what it is favor. Now, I want to try and expand this just a little bit more if you'll bear with me here. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have always been. They will always be. Jesus reveals the heartbeat of God. From him we receive grace upon grace, which means that grace, favor, has always been core to who God is as Father, Son, and Spirit. So when grace entered the world, he invited us into that relationship with God. You're invited to know God, Father, Son, and Spirit, as they've always been forever and ever. They want to love you. They want you to know their favor towards you. Jesus didn't die the death he died because he just had a little favor for you. He died the death he died and rose again because he's favor itself. He's the message of God itself. He's the gospel itself. So if you want to know God, you must know Christ. and you must receive grace upon grace from him. You've got to know that God at his core is love, and what that means is he is grace towards you. He is favor towards you. In our Bible study this morning, we were talking about the encouragement for a godly life. What is it? And we were looking at Titus 2, and he says it's grace. The grace of God has appeared, this is 11 through 14, to humanity, bringing salvation to all men, right? It's appeared. Not that it was invented, it appeared. It's always been, it appeared. And we look at that grace and we know that grace, and that encourages the life of good works, the life of living. Well, what John says is he makes this claim that Jesus didn't come to teach us grace. He is grace. He is the Word. He is the Logos. He is the heartbeat of God. He is who God is at his core. Father, Son, and Spirit. Verse 17 to 18, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now that's interesting. So keep in mind here that we're talking about the Son of God coming from heaven down to earth. Moses met with God on Mount Sinai. I always have this. Have you seen the Mel Brooks movie, History of the World? No? Okay, well, there's this clip. You can look it up on YouTube. Mel Brooks is dressed as Moses. He comes down from the mountain with 3 stone tablets and accidentally drops one, and he says, 10 commandments. It's really funny. But Moses came down with the 10 commandments, right? But see, that wasn't the end of the story. The 10 commandments, the law, they were a foreshadow of Christ. And what John is saying here is the reality is Christ. The law, whatever that was, pointed to Christ. Christ is grace and truth. It came from him. Favor and reality. Truth is just what's real. What's real? It's Christ. No one has ever seen God. Now remember when I asked you how well did Israel know God in the Old Testament? That's a pretty crazy verse. Is that verse 18? No one has ever seen God. Now wait a minute, because I remember back in Exodus, Moses met with God in the tent of meeting, right? He would leave the tent and he'd go to the tent of meeting and the smoke would come down and he'd meet with God. And it's interesting, in Exodus 33 it says, God met with Moses face to face as a man meets with his friend. But if you read 10 verses later, God tells Moses, no one can see my face. If you do, you'll die. So wait, what did Moses see? That's a question I have. What did Moses see? Because here John says no one has ever seen God. It says the only God, the Logos, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Jesus has made God known. Jesus is the heartbeat of God. Questions. And this isn't meant to confuse us. This, as we look at it and explore it, can bring awe, wonder, mystery. Don't be afraid to ask questions of God. He doesn't expect you to know everything. That's not what he's about. He's about you knowing him. And I promise you're going to spend forever knowing him. You're never going to get to the point where you go, I get grace, I'm good. Or I get God is love, I'm good. I get it. Stop talking about it. Jesus, stop talking about it. You're never going to tell him that in heaven, right? It's going to be like, whoa, I want to get lost in this. What does this mean? But Jesus has made God known. That I do know. Whoever Jesus is, God is. Whoever God is, Jesus is. Full of grace and truth. Grace upon grace. Lots of grace. That's who God is. So in summary, a few things. Number one, Jesus is the heartbeat of God. Whoever, whatever Jesus is, God is also. If God is Jesus, and Jesus entered into our mess, became our mess, then that's God's heart for you. Sometimes I think we get this idea that the Father's the nice guy, or the Father's the mean guy, and Jesus is the nice guy, and he just took a bullet for us. That's not what this is revealing. That's not what Scripture reveals. That this plan of redemption was the Father's plan, the Son's plan, and the Holy Spirit's plan. They are all love for you. That they at their core are grace toward you. And that they reveal this in Christ. What does it mean that no one has seen God before Christ? I don't know. I know that Jesus reveals a heart of God that we needed to see. We needed to know that. That hadn't been around before. Number two, Jesus is grace. Grace is not this afterthought. Oh, humanity blew it, now I'm going to have grace. Grace is an extension of who God is. God is love, and you can't have love on someone without having grace on someone, having favor towards someone. It's kind of like I think about my children. If I just said I love you, but I never become that love for them, I never have favor on them, I never make love tangible for them, then it doesn't mean anything. I can say whatever I want to say. And the point in this is God is not just giving us words. He gave us a person. He became that teaching. He expressed that love in a very real way. So Father, Son, and Spirit are grace at the core of their being. They are favor, and they want to invite everyone into that, to know that. And then number three, the law was from Moses. It was earthly, not in the sense that it was bad, but it was earthly in the sense that it was temporary. But Jesus is the Logos of God, who is grace. Jesus is the message from heaven. He is heaven come to earth to get you so that you can know God. So two takeaways from this. Father, Son, and Spirit are grace towards me, towards you. God's not up in heaven without an understanding of what it means to live on earth. He's not up in heaven watching, waiting for you to mess up so that he can strike you with lightning. God is grace towards you, favor towards you, towards me, all of the time. Just as God is love, 1 John 4:8, God is also grace. Love cannot exist without this favor, and favor cannot exist without this love. They are connected. Grace is love in action. It's an action. Number two, everything God does, and this is a hard one, everything God does comes from who he is in Christ as love and grace. Everything. It has to. Now, why is that hard for us? Because there's a lot of doctrines that we have to understand. You know, we live in a world, Christian world, where, you know, the concept of hell isn't very popular. And yet we can't write it out of the Bible. It's there. We can't say, no, hell's not real. Can't say God's judgment's not real. Can't do that. But what we do need to do is try and understand these things from the point of view that God is love. How do these connect? I don't know. But how do they connect? Because everything he does comes from who he has revealed himself to be in Christ. Love doesn't mean that he doesn't have judgment. But what it means is judgment that in some way. So, Father, I thank you for this complex topic. And my prayer is that this would be an entry point into getting lost in your mystery. You know you, because I don't think we're ever going to understand completely, but just to know you. Father, thank you for not being a distant God. Thank you to get us entering into our mess, entering everything that we experience. Fear itself, the feeling of separation from God itself. God, you know these things well. And so, Father, give us power to know your love and to at least explore life from that viewpoint. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching of God's Word from Faith Bible Church in Reno, Nevada. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you and that the Word of God will fill your hearts and minds as you walk through this world. If you have been blessed by this ministry and would like to make a small donation to help defray the cost of this podcast, just click on the green Support Us button at the top of the webpage. Thank you.